Eyes for Allah, nothing but Allah, buys the beginning.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to the Dean Show. Guess who we got back at the Dean Show? I told you he'd be back in August. It's September 1st. And we'd like to welcome back with us again. I'm very happy to introduce my brother, Sheikh Yasser Qardhi.
Wa alaykum
assalam. For those of you that don't know who our brother is, we're going to take 30 seconds real quick and be right back. Okay, so now that you know who he is and that you see that he has the credentials, because we don't have a car mechanic here that we're asking these questions. We have a good brother who's taken the time and dedicated his life to study this beautiful way of life that every Muslim should be living. Yasser Qardhi, I get many people emailing me now, mm-hmm. asking me questions. And mm-hmm. I encourage people to send their emails, so when I have an opportunity to sit down with someone like you, that we can ask these questions. Mm-hmm. So in this session, we're going to do a Q&A. Is that okay?
Perfect.
Where I'm going to ask you what you guys, my audience and the viewers who tune into the Dean Show, feel free anytime to send your questions in that you want me to ask my guests, like we're doing today, okay? So this individual, and these individuals have sent some questions, and this one we're going to be talking with. The first question relates to men and women, okay, boys and girls. Mm-hmm. All right, this is a hot topic. So first question that's asked is, what kind of relationship can the opposite sex have with each other?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa wala. Amma ba'd. The issue of gender relations and the status of each gender in Islam, it is one of the most important issues of Islam. And that is because of the simple fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind and he divided them into male and female. As Allah says in the Quran, that يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ O mankind, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُم مِّن ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. We have created you and basically made you male and female. So the only biological division that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inherently placed in us is the division of male and female. Allah does not differentiate amongst us based upon our skin color, based upon the language we speak, based upon how tall or short or broad or thin we are. All of these things are something that Allah does not differentiate between us. But there is a difference in men versus women. Allah created men different than He created women. Now, having said that there's a difference, we have to ask ourselves, what is that difference? Does that mean that Allah gave men more blessings than He gave women? Does that mean that just because a man is a man, he's going to enter paradise, and a woman is a woman, her chances of entering paradise are diminished? No. This is where Islam has a very different perspective. Islam says, spiritually speaking, Islamically speaking, men and women are the same. In the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reward a man just because he's a man, or reward a woman because she's a woman, or punish a woman because she's a woman. No. Spiritually speaking, each gender has the same chance of redeeming themselves and entering Jannah. Spiritually speaking, if I do a good deed and a woman does a good deed, the rewards of those good deeds will be exactly the same, barring other factors. So gender does not play a role in status in the sight of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, the most pious amongst you are those who have the most taqwa. Taqwa means the fear and the love of God. Allah doesn't say if you're male or female. It's irrelevant. So the reason why I prelude my comments with this is to make us understand, spiritually speaking, men and women are indeed equivalent. However, men and women are biologically, are mentally, are physiologically, are emotionally different. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave laws and duties and roles to each gender that were specific to them. And this is important to realize, because people say, how come Islam discriminates against women? No, Islam doesn't discriminate against women spiritually, but Islam does have different rulings for men and different rulings for women. And so you can say Islam discriminates against men just as it discriminates against women. The man is responsible for earning the money, not the woman. This is discrimination, if you like. I have to earn for my wife, my wife doesn't have to earn for me. I have to take care of the kids, my wife doesn't have to do that Islamically, in the sense of you know, providing for them and feeding them and sustenance and nourishment. Similarly, women have a different role. Each role is complementary. It's not meant to clash. It's not meant to fight over each role. No, each role helps and complements the other role. And we need both roles in society in order to go further. So with that prelude, now we get to the question of gender relations. Gender relations is a very important issue because there is a natural and an unnatural aspect to gender relations. A natural aspect is that every single human being requires a person of the opposite gender to be full. A man requires a woman and a woman requires a man. If one of the two is missing, if one of the components of this dual pair is missing, then the other component will feel deficient. And that is why Allah says in the Quran that of His miracles is that He has created from amongst you spouses. It's a miracle from Allah, of His signs, that He's created a spouse from amongst you. Why? Allah says, so that you can find peace in her. You can find serenity in her. And you can live together in peace and harmony. This is a verse in the Quran. Meaning, if you don't have a spouse, you're not complete. That's a natural part of being human, is to have a woman whom you love and you cherish. And that woman loves you back and cares for you and nourishes you. You need that pair. And this is of the miracles of Allah, that He created man and woman wanting and desiring one another. So there's a natural element to that desire. And there's an unnatural element as well. That unnatural element is that a man and a woman have this relationship outside the bonds of marriage. And they do things that will disrupt the fabric of society. So our religious laws, called the Sharia, it aims for enhancing the natural interaction and for diminishing the unnatural interactions, okay? And that is of the goals of the Sharia. Therefore, gender interactions are a very central role in our Sharia, our legal law. Our religion wants us to get married. It's a commandment from the Prophet ﷺ that he told us that, oh, young men amongst you, if you're able to, then get married. Do so. And he said, marriage is a part of my tradition, the tradition of Islam. Whoever leaves that tradition has left my tradition. Whoever leaves marriage has abandoned my tradition. So we're encouraged to get married. Why? Because it helps us be human beings. It makes us express our love, our desires, our feelings, our sexuality in a natural and permissible way. This is what the Sharia encourages. What it discourages is to have these bonds outside the fold of marriage. With this goal in mind, basically, the Sharia asks men and women to take care of themselves with the proper modesty and decorum, to dress in a certain way and to act in a certain way. Men have their requirements and women have theirs. Therefore, the Sharia requires men to dress in a certain code, loose clothing, the private parts covered, make sure that they don't, you know, speak with women in an inappropriate manner. And the women are also required to dress in a specific manner that is appropriate for them. Likewise, in terms of interaction, there is no harm in speaking with the opposite gender at all. Even if you're related or unrelated, as long as there's a reason to, number one, and number two, is done with the proper etiquette. In other words, you know, speaking in a vulgar manner, speaking in a flirtatious or coquettish manner, these are things that our Sharia prohibits when it's done outside the bonds of marriage. Why? Because there's no good to be gained out of it. You're only asking for trouble when you open this door upon yourself. So when it comes to marriage, as we said, it's fostered. And when it comes to outside of marriage, it is diminished. The question arises, how does one go about finding a spouse? How does one find that person that they want to spend the rest of their lives with? Here, there are some basic guidelines. Of the basic guidelines is, we are completely allowed to speak with those whom we're interested in to become a partner to marry. We're allowed to meet them, to visit them. We're allowed to ask questions and to do what we can in terms of finding out about the other partner. But the one thing that we're not allowed to do is to take that relationship to a level where our religion would be prohibited. So of the things that have been prohibited in our religion is to, obviously, the greatest prohibition will be actual intimacy. In other words, the actual act of sexual relationship. This is completely forbidden except within the bonds of marriage. Another issue that the Prophet ﷺ forbade was to be alone with a person of the opposite gender who was outside the close relations, like your sister, your mother, your daughter, to be alone with them where people can't see you. Because when you're alone with them, again, you're only asking for trouble. You shouldn't be alone with them. If you meet, it should be in the presence of other people. Because when you're in the presence of other people, there will be a certain sense of